parama karuna bahudvijana nitai gora chandra 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 sabha avatar sarashiromani kevala ananda kanda sabha avatar sarashiromani kevala ananda kanda sabha avatar sarashiromani kevala ananda kanda sabha avatar sarashiromani kevala ananda kanda.
So Sun Mohini here requested this song because she says it's her favorite of all the Vaishnava songs. Is that correct? For Levine, it's Bajahure Mana. But for you, it's this song. Now, this song is special to me because the way I sing it is the way I heard Srila Prabhupada himself sing it in March of 1975. And I can visualize what it was then. In the morning, Prabhupada arrived at the temple in Atlanta and he started to speak on the first line of this song. But he could not go very far because he started to cry. He was feeling very emotional, seeing the temple room filled with young devotees, mostly brahmacharis, and the deities of that temple were Gaur Nitai. So Prabhupada only spoke a minute or so, and he excused himself because he started to cry. So then the word came down through disciplic succession that in the evening Prabhupada would sing this song and explain it, which he did. And Prabhupada recorded it. There was a big tape recorder. So Prabhupada played it first time like I did with the Kartals, that melody. And then they played the tape recorder back with a microphone through the speakers so you could hear Prabhupada's original singing and the Kartals, and then Prabhupada added drum. So I still remember that was 1975. So Parama Karuna Pahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. There are two persons, Pahudvijana. Their names are Nitai Gaurachandra, Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya. Parama Karuna, and they are extremely merciful. When Krishna came 5,000 years ago, he delivered anyone who would surrender to him. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, if you surrender to me, I will give you my causeless mercy. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are so merciful that even if you don't surrender, they still deliver you. Whether you surrender or not, they don't care. They simply want everyone to get the causeless mercy of Krishna by their Sankirtan movement, by their process of chanting. So they are considered the most merciful incarnation because they don't take into consideration whether one is a devotee or a demon. They don't care. Their attitude is, here is another fallen conditioned soul. They must be delivered somehow or other. They don't make any distinction, no discrimination, no qualification. They are simply delivering all the fallen souls. Then it says, Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani Kevala Anandakanda. So these two lords, Nityananda and Chaitanya, are considered to be the crown jewel or the essence of all incarnations. Just as Krishna, when Krishna came, if you read Krishna book or 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, oh, wait a second, they don't understand English.
No, I understand. You don't understand a word, but I don't remember what word was.
Crown?
Corona?
Crown jewel. Crown jewel means topmost. You understand English?
Yeah.
Everybody understands English. How about you?
So-so. It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, when Krishna came, it is described in the Bhagavatam and by Prabhupada in Krishna book, all the incarnations, all the avatars were in the body of Krishna. All of them. Because Krishna is the origin of all the incarnations. That is one of the main things you learn in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is even one chapter. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. He is the source of Narayan. He is the source of six different kinds of avatars. So when Krishna came, all the incarnations were there in the body of Krishna. The same truth is there for Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. That's who Lord Chaitanya is. He's Krishna. So just as all the incarnations were there in Krishna's avatar, also in Lord Chaitanya, all the incarnations were in the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda is Krishna's first expansion, Balaram. Because from Balaram is Krishna's first expansion. Then from Balaram, you have Narayan and so many other incarnations proceed. So these two lords, Nityananda and Chaitanya, are the crown jewel, the topmost, the essence of all incarnations. And Kevala Anandakanda. They have a religious process, and their process is simply joyful. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a line in Bhagavad Gita, Susukam Kartum Avyayam, that the practice of Krishna's philosophy is happy, is joyful, it's easy. When something is easy and joyful, well then, that's good. Then there's no excuse. If something is hard or difficult, then maybe you can give an excuse. But Krishna's philosophy in Bhagavad Gita is susukam, very easy, very joyful. Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, kevala ananda. Their process is simply blissful. How is it blissful? Because all you have to do to get the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, chant the names of God. That's all you have to do. You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be young, you may be old, you may be man, woman, just chant Hare Krishna and you'll get the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Now we go to verse number 2. How am I doing? It's okay? You like? Bhajo bhajo bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Biswasa Kori. Bhajo bhajo bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Biswasa Kori. Bhajo bhajo bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Biswasa Vishaya chadiya se rase mandiya mukhe bolo hari hari. Vishaya chadiya se rase mandiya mukhe bolo hari hari. Vishaya chadiya se rase majjiya mukhe bolo hari hari. So, what is the author saying now in this second verse? Well, he's saying, he's addressing everyone, my dear brother, bhaja, bhaja, you should simply worship these two lords, Nityananda and Chaitanya. That's what he's asking everyone to do, inviting everyone, calling out. My friend, my brother, just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Sudrida Biswasakori. And how does he want us to worship? We should have firm faith and conviction. We should have firm faith and conviction that the process given by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will give us the maximum amount of mercy of the Lord. It will deliver us. It will make us completely happy, both materially and spiritually. So then he says, Vishaya chadiya se rase bhajiya. Now he says, but you have to give up sinful life. You cannot continue with your sinful life. So what is the sinful life? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. These are the pillars of sinful life. So the author of this song is saying that if you want to get the full causeless mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, if you want to be completely blessed by God, then you have to give up your sinful life. Then he says, Mukhe bolo hari hari. Now, with your mouth, chant the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukhe Bolo, Hari Hari. All right. Now let's go on to the next part. As you can see, I'm trying to do several things here. All right. Verse number 3. Dekho re bhai tribhuvane nar e mona doyala tata. Dekho re bhai tribhuvane nar e mona doyala tata. Dekho re bhai tribhuvane nar e mona doyala tata. Pashu pakhi jure ashana vidare shuni jar guna gata. Pashu pakhi jure ashana vidare shuni jar guna gata. Pashu pakhi jure ashana vidare shuni jar guna gata. So he says now, he's speaking to all of his friends or whoever is going to hear him. You should, with an impartial mind, examine everything that he said. The author is saying that you're not going to find anybody greater than Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Just like another example, the great devotee Uddhava. Uddhava once told Vidura that, how can I worship anyone other than Krishna? How is it possible? And Uddhava gave a reason. Uddhava said, the reason why I don't want to worship anyone other than Krishna is because Krishna is so great that he gave liberation to Putana. When Krishna was a little baby, less than 3 months old, Putana came to kill Krishna. So Krishna is so great that he delivered Putana and gave her a great benediction where she can act like Krishna's mother in the spiritual world, even though she came to kill him. So Uddhava is telling Vidura, how can I possibly worship anyone other than Krishna? Because he's so great, he benedicts the very person who tries to kill him. We were discussing today at lunch, me and some Mohini, we were discussing how, out of Krishna's causeless mercy, he gives liberation to anyone he kills. And somebody was saying that maybe I should become that kind of demon that Krishna kills, so that I will get delivered by Krishna. And I said, no, that is not the recommended process. But it is a fact, Krishna gives liberation to anyone he kills personally. And we see in the life story of Krishna, demon after demon got liberation because Krishna personally killed that demon. So in the same way, since Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, that's a very important point. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Then the author is saying, then there's nobody better than this Lord Chaitanya and his brother, Lord Nityananda. And they're so powerful, because there was the one incident where Lord Chaitanya was walking through the forest in India, Jharikhanda. And in that forest, by Lord Chaitanya's presence, the animals were dancing and chanting. He has that kind of potency that he can make animals chant. There is also the incident of a dog. Shivananda Sen came upon Lord Chaitanya, and the dog was sitting next to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was feeding the dog green coconut pulp, and Lord Chaitanya was telling the dog to chant Hare Krishna, and the dog was chanting in his dog voice, like that. So Lord Chaitanya has that power that he can make animals chant the holy name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are so powerful that they can melt anyone who has a stone-like heart. A demon, a non-devotee, their heart is as hard as stone. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Lord Chaitanya's potency is so great that he can melt any stone-hearted man. So the author is continuing in his emphasis that you're not going to find anything better than Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. All right, we have one more verse. Jai. What is the baby's name?
Nirakula Das.
Nirakula?
Das.
Nirakula Das. Very good. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Very nice. Sangsare majiya rokhili pariya se pade nahilo asha. Sangsare majiya rokhili pariya se pade nahilo asha. Sangsare majiya rokhili pariya se pade nahilo asha. Apana karama punjaye shamana kahoye ruchana dasa. Apana karama punjaye shamana kahoye ruchana dasa. Apana karama punjaye shamana kahoye rochana dasa. So, in the final part of this song, as is common for Vaishnavas, when a Vaishnava writes a song, the Vaishnava generally presents himself very humbly, very meekly, very lowly, even though the Vaishnava is the most exalted, still one of the symptoms of a Vaishnava is that he has natural humility. It's not artificial. The reason why the devotee has natural humility is because the devotee is appreciating the causeless mercy of Krishna upon him. When the devotee realizes that he or she has received the causeless mercy of Krishna and really appreciates that, that causes the devotee to be very, very meek and humble. The best example is given by Lord Chaitanya. all of you should have already memorized the third Shikshastakam prayer, which is most important. Trinadapi sunichena tarod eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaha. Oh, good. You did learn it. Thank you. Anyone who says they're my disciple has to know that shloka. Otherwise, they're not my disciple. So, when Lord Chaitanya is giving the purport of that verse, he gives us the example of the tree. That when a tree has no fruits or flowers, then the branches are straight up. But when the tree is filled with fruits and flowers, the branches, because of all those fruits and flowers, the branches have to bend down low. And the more fruit and the more flowers, the more the tree is bending down. So the Vaishnava, the pure devotee, who has achieved the causeless mercy of Krishna, is so full of fruits of love of God that he or she presents oneself very meekly and humbly. And somebody who doesn't have any good qualities or fruits of love of God stands up proud and strong and presents themselves in that way. So if you want to know who is the advanced devotee, you look for the devotee who is very meek and humble. That's the kind of devotee you want to associate with. You should associate with that devotee who is very meek and humble. That association will help you tremendously. So the author of this song, Lochan Das Thakur, he says, I am fallen. I have been entrapped by sense gratification. And he says, because of this sense gratification, I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. That's not true, but that's how he's feeling because of his natural Vaishnava humility. And he says that anyone who is not attracted to Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, then that person who's not attracted must be being punished by Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. In other words, everyone should be attracted to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. And if you're not attracted to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, then the author of this song says, then Yamaraj must be punishing you. So now the question is, how do I become attracted to Lord Chaitanya Nityananda? How do I get their causeless mercy? And that's easy. Chant their names and read about them. If you read about Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, you will become attracted. If you chant their names, you will become attracted. And as you become attracted to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, then gradually you'll get their causeless mercy. Why is it causeless? Because they don't have to do it. Nobody's forcing them to do it. You can't make them do it. But out of their great compassion, they do it. They give you their mercy. It's causeless. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Oh.
Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Shri Krishna
Jai
Chaitanya
Jai
Prabhu Nityananda.
This is your wife?
Shri Advaita
Gadadhara. Very good. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda to tell one story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and dedicate it to my good friend Lakshman Lavin Magnani, who was causelessly merciful to me, and he gave me a business class ticket to come here.
The ticket was free, Prabhu, sorry. Ticket was free, I didn't spend any money on the ticket.
You did spend money because you used your miles. You could have used those miles for something else. That is your causeless mercy. So, this is one of my favorite stories from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the story of Amoga. There was the greatest Mayavadi philosopher in India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But by Lord Chaitanya's potency, the greatest Mayavadi Acharya was converted and became a disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he used to be the number one Mayavad philosopher. But once he became converted to Lord Chaitanya's movement, he became a staunch, fanatic follower of Lord Chaitanya. So one time, Sarvabhauma and his wife, they invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch. And Sarvabhauma and his wife, they made very nice prasad. And they had a special room to feed Lord Chaitanya. And they were very, very attentive in serving Lord Chaitanya very nicely. But their daughter, Sarvabhauma's daughter, was married to a Brahmin whose name was Amoga. And this Amoga was jealous and envious of Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma knew this. And Sarvabhauma thought a moga might come and do some mischief. So while Lord Chaitanya was eating and being served, Sarvabhauma looked at the door and had a stick in his hand. That if the son-in-law came, he was going to beat him. But at one point, Sarvabhauma was feeding Lord Chaitanya, then a moga came to the door and blasphemed and criticized Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma got so angry, he chased him, but a moga ran away. Immediately, a moga fell sick with a deadly disease, cholera. He was dying. Now, Lord Chaitanya, when a moga came and caused the disturbance, Lord Chaitanya was not affected. And he told Sarvabhauma, don't worry. Nothing, everything's okay. I'm not upset. He didn't get disturbed at all. But Sarvabhauma and his wife, they were very upset. And they both said, it'll be very good if our daughter becomes a widow. So that night, Amoga was stricken. And when Lord Chaitanya was informed that Amoga was on his deathbed, Lord Chaitanya immediately got up and ran to see Amoga. And he went to Amoga, touched him, and said, Amoga, you are a Brahmin. A Brahmin is supposed to be pure. Why are you allowing the two witches, jealousy and envy, to sit in your heart? You shouldn't do this. Brahman is supposed to be peaceful, controlled. There should be no jealousy or envy. So then Lord Chaitanya told Amoga, Amoga, if you get up right now and you chant Krishna's name, Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. This is the part I love. Lord Chaitanya said, Amoga, if you chant this Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. So Amoga did that. Somehow or other, he became convinced. Lord Chaitanya, even though he blasphemed Lord Chaitanya came to his deathbed. So Amoga started to chant, and he was saved. So then Amoga started to slap himself. With this mouth, I blaspheme this great Lord Chaitanya. Now the question is, why did Lord Chaitanya deliver Amoga? He delivered Amoga because he was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma. And Lord Chaitanya's love for Sarvabhauma was so great that he didn't want anyone in his family to have any difficulties. So he delivered Amoga because of his relationship with Sarvabhauma. The lesson of that is that you may not be a great devotee, but if you are connected somehow or other with a great devotee, you may just get the mercy. So it is good to be connected with great devotees. So you should try to have as many devotee relationships as you can. It is said by Prabhupada that you have one Diksha Guru, but you can have an unlimited number of Shiksha Gurus. So, throughout your life, try to develop as many relationships with advanced devotees as you can, because that will only serve to help you. And again, as I said earlier, some of you weren't here. How do you know who's a great devotee? The devotee who is meek and humble. Those are the devotees that you want to associate with. Wait. Okay. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Srimad Sudana. Gopala Govinda Ram Srimad Sudana.
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mohini said there should be questions. Who wants to start the ball rolling with questions? Yes.
I want to ask what is we have the word you said humble, a devotee should be humble and meek. What is meek?
It's a synonym for humble. It's another way of saying humble. Meek means literally not presenting oneself in a proud way. Meek means one is very soft, gentle, not demanding, very surrendered, very easygoing, cooperates. That is someone who's meek. The opposite is somebody who's very demanding, has to have things their way. Somebody who's meek will do whatever it takes to please the other person. In the relationship between husband and wife, the husband finds when the wife is meek, very, very pleasing. That doesn't mean that the husband should be like Kamsa. The husband should be Haribo. The husband should be a devotee, also gentle. Also meek and humble. Also, it works both ways. But in terms of Krishna and devotees, all of us, men, women, should present ourselves very meek and humble. That is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. That is how you're able to chant effortlessly. I always say that if you're having problems chanting, then you have to go through the checklist. Am I humble? Am I tolerant? Am I looking for recognition? Am I ready to praise the good qualities of others? So when these things, when something is lacking, then that's why I'm finding chanting hard. The only reason chanting is hard is because I'm not meek and humble, I'm not being tolerant, and I'm looking for others to glorify me. And I'm not finding the good qualities in others. That's why I find chanting hard. Next question. How about Levine? Does Levine have a question? No question. Sakshi, you're always good with a question. I knew you did. It was written on your face. Haribo, come on in. The water is fine. Come on.
The size of the soul is one tenth thousand, the tip of the hair.
Yes.
What is the size of the super soul?
Ah, what is the size of the super soul? The only description that we have is, I can't remember, eight? I can't remember. There is one description. But I can explain like this. The soul may be 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, but when the soul returns back home, back to Godhead, and is awarded a spiritual body, that body is not 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. So that 1/10,000th tip of the hair also is good to meditate that way. What have I got to be puffed up about? I'm only 1/10,000th the size of... There is some... I remember reading once, but I can't remember, so I'm not going to say what is the... But also, the super soul is proportionate to the size of the body. You follow what I'm saying? He's proportionate to the size of the body. More questions. Yes, Sammohini. Haribo. Plenty of room in here. Front row seating.
I know. Come on, have a front row.
You have a question?
Yes. I want to know the amount of devotional service that we do in this life.
The amount of devotional service we do in this life.
Does that depend on the amount of austerities we have done in the previous life?
No. No. Because devotional service, there is no material check. The amount of devotional service that you do in this life is dependent on the following factors. Your desire to do devotional service. Now, you may say, I'm hampered because of this, that, but actually, the desire to do devotional service, nothing can hamper that. So, as long as you have strong, strong desire to do devotional service, that can supersede any disqualification one may have had from a previous life. The other factor that determines your devotional service is the sanction of Krishna. Krishna's causeless mercy, which we have been discussing all day. So, I would say, if somebody has the desire to do devotional service, regardless of the past, that nothing can check, that desire comes from the soul. So then the question becomes, how does a living entity in a particular lifetime get the desire for devotional service? That comes from associating with devotees and by surrendering. That's why Prabhupada said, you can go back home, back to God, and in this lifetime. So that seems to nullify, right? Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you will go back home, back to God, and in this lifetime. So, he's not taking into consideration anything else. Now, you or somebody else may find chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles more difficult than, say, somebody else. You follow? That I'm not denying. For some people, it's harder.
to come to the standard. But if they're able to come to the standard, they're going to get the causeless mercy of Krishna. So that is how I answer your question. Now, I would like my good friend Shyamachandra Das, who is equally knowledgeable, if he would like to add anything to this answer. Do you have any other thing that you would like to expand on this point? Or maybe you disagree.
No, I don't disagree.
Anything you want to add?
Well, like Prabhu said, that it's all the causeless mercy, and that's what we see, how the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada has come to us, and his followers have come to us, and that is the reason that has attracted us to devotional service. So it could be that we have done some austerities in our previous life, and maybe that's why we have either got human birth or got human birth with some association. But like Prabhu explained, we can have unlimited devotional service, whether we have done enough austerity or not done austerity at all, whatever the case may be, because of all this mercy of the Lord and his devotees and their followers, we can still come out of that and just continue to go beyond whatever service we did or austerity we did previously.
Prabhupada told us, his disciples, I created your good fortune. That's what he told us. Don't think that you had anything to do with this. Prabhupada said, I created this whole thing for you. Oh, he has the Paramatma answer.
No, I just...
Go ahead. Hey, Rob, we need a bigger house next year. We need bigger house. Haribo. So, yes, nice and loud.
Like Prabhu was explaining, that the Paramatma size depends on the particular body. So, as far as I have heard, that is the size of the thumb. Size of the thumb of that particular body.
There you go.
Whether it's human being, so it's the thumb, or it's other body, the thumb size is the Paramatma size, and Anuatma size, you know already.
Then what do you say to somebody that the tree doesn't have a thumb? No, I'm just... The devil may ask that question. Anything?
Some proportion has to be
okay.
As for the size of the body.
More questions. So, Sammohini, were you satisfied with our answer?
Yes. Thank you.
More questions. Not a whole lot of questions tonight.
Excuse me, how can we hear that Paramatma talks to us in our hearts?
You have to come to the stage where there are no more material desires in the heart. Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. We have to cleanse the mind.
Can you explain the mind?
Right now, the heart, the mind, the consciousness is contaminated by material desires. Because of those material desires, we're not able to see the Lord in the heart. The consciousness is contaminated. I still identify with this body. I still am pursuing so many material desires. As long as that is there,
then I'm not going to be able to contact the Super Soul one-on-one. But by beginning the process of Krishna consciousness, specifically hearing and chanting, the cleansing process begins. So the more one hears the message of Krishna, the more one chants Krishna's holy name, the more one does devotional activities, little by little the consciousness is being cleansed. When there are no more material desires, then you'll be able to hear Krishna speak to you directly. Does that make sense to you? It's simply a question of cleansing. There is the story of Madhavendra Puri.
Sorry, only when it's totally clean, when it's not purified, we may not hear.
You don't hear until it's completely cleansed. It has to be completely cleansed of all material desires. Madhavendra Puri was so pure that Krishna appeared to him personally and also three times in dreams. So it is possible. Now, how long it will take, that's up to you and me. We just have to keep practicing, keep chanting and hearing, and little by little by little, we're making progress. The day will come when you will not only hear Krishna, you will see. Ranchorji, you have a question?
Yes, Prabhu, I want to ask that we are in the material world, right? And everybody has material desires.
Yes.
Yeah. So how one can, like, everybody has desires. Like you said now, you have to be desire-free, right?
You have to purify the desire.
But how, like, how we can...
Okay. So...
It's a difficult task, but you can reach.
So... Desire will always be there. Because you are 1/10,000th the tip of the hair soul, part and parcel with the soul is desire. You will never extinguish desire. Never. The Buddhists are wrong. You cannot extinguish desire. As long as you live, there is desire. So now the question is, what kind of desire? Basically, there are two kinds of desires. One desire is, I want to be God. I want to enjoy. I want to dominate. I want to be loved. I want, I want, I want, I want. That's material desire. The other kind of desire is, my Lord, how may I serve you? There are only two kinds of desires. Now, within the two kinds of desires, there are varieties, but it basically comes down to two different desires. Do I want to imitate God, or do I want to surrender and serve God? So, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, what we are saying, I don't want to be God, I want to serve God. So when that desire is 24/7, 365, life after life after life, Hari Bol. Now, let's go back to something. Yes. We're all stuck in this material world. And we all have so many desires. So there is another process, yukta vairagya. You use your desire to serve Krishna. I'm a best example. What do I have in the other room?
Guitar.
So I can use that guitar to sing about Maya, or I can use that guitar to sing about Krishna. So whatever your material desire is, you have to figure out a way how to dovetail it to serve Krishna. How many of you are businessmen? So you businessmen, you like to make money, yes? Otherwise, why are you businessmen? So, you have a desire to make money. So now use that desire to make money, but use it to do something for Krishna. Support the temple. Build the temple. Invite Prabhuji to come 10 times a year. Use your money-making things. Sponsor books. Sponsor festivals. You like to make money, good. Now with that money, do something for Krishna. You like to dance. You like to sing. You like to paint. Everything can find a way to serve Krishna. You like to eat? Good. Cook for Krishna. Offer it first for Krishna, then eat to your heart's content, as you see I've done. Does that satisfy you?
Yes.
All right, we didn't get a question from...
No question.
No question. Levine, did you think of your question yet? Did you want to add anything, my good friend? Any other questions? Pat's house tonight. Very good. Any more questions, Sachi? Bean?
Yes, but I like to actually private.
Oh, a private one. Okay. All right. Yes.
Espanol.
Espanol. Well, we have enough translators.
El yukta vairagya es muy amplio. A veces se puede caer en la complacencia sensorial en nombre del yukta vairagya. ¿Cómo se puede diferenciar lo que es realmente yukta vairagya y lo que es complacencia sensorial?
Okay, what did he say?
He said the example you gave, yukta vairagya, it's a very broad term. And sometimes we may take advantage and do something for our senses, enjoy our senses in the name of yukta vairagya. So how can we differentiate, or how can we discipline ourselves that it's not sense gratification and that it's only yukta vairagya?
Generally speaking, yukta vairagya means you're also enjoying your senses. Explain.
Generalmente, yukta vairagya quiere decir que uno sí está disfrutando, complaciendo sus sentidos.
So, the safeguard, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles.
Entonces, para estar seguro, protegido y salvado, mejor cantar 16 rounds mínimo y seguir los 4 principios.
As long as your yukta vairagya is still allowing you to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, you're okay.
Hasta que su yukta vairagya le permite cantar sus 16 rondas y seguir los 4 principios, quiere decir que está bien. Si
Chila Prabhupada, recuerdo que Chila Prabhupada podría incluso que sus discípulos comieran helado. Entendía que comieran helado cuando estaba en la cuando estaba recién iniciando su movimiento. No gustaba que sus discípulos comieran helado.
He's saying that when Srila Prabhupada recently in the moment when he was initiating disciples, he was prohibiting his disciples to eat ice cream.
Yes, so why is it so?
Entonces, ¿por qué si se estaba haciendo yukta vairagya, por qué Prabhupada no gustaba que comieran helado?
And if they were doing yukta vairagya, why Srila Prabhupada didn't allow them to eat ice cream?
Well, there are many prohibitions. You can't do yukta vairagya and smoke marijuana.
Hay muchas prohibiciones también de yukta vairagya. No podía hacer yukta vairagya y a la vez fumar marihuana.
There are guidelines. Like I said, four regulative principles.
Hay guías como los cuatro principios.
Now, as far as ice cream, most likely Prabhupada was prohibiting them from buying it, not making it.
De helado, cuando se habla, es muy probable que Srila Prabhupada estaba prohibiendo a ellos para comprar eso afuera en el mercado, no prohibiendo que ellos hicieran el helado ellos mismos.
I will tell a story that I heard from a devotee.
Él va a narrar una historia que le escucho de un devoto.
The devotee was with Prabhupada driving in a van.
El devoto estaba con Srila Prabhupada, estaba en un once, manejando.
And Prabhupada saw the donut shop.
Y Srila Prabhupada vio una tienda de donuts.
So Prabhupada said, "What is that donut?"
Entonces Srila Prabhupada dijo, "¿Qué es ese donut? Donut quiere decir que no hacer, no hacer."
So the devotee that told me the story told Prabhupada.
Entonces el devoto que narró la historia a Prabhu dijo a Srila Prabhupada,
"What is a donut?"
¿Qué es un donut?
So Prabhupada said, "Very good. We will go back to the temple and make donuts."
Entonces Srila Prabhupada dijo que muy bien, vamos a regresar al templo y hacer unos donuts.
So Prabhupada's point was not to eat things made by karmis.
Entonces el punto de Srila Prabhupada era no comer comida hecha por los karmis.
So you can. So there is a good example of yukta vairagya.
So es un buen ejemplo de yukta vairagya.
Make your own pure ice cream.
Haga su propio helado puro.
Entonces podemos llevar el cine a la casa y poder ver televisión.
That means we can take the cinema to the house and watch TV. But he's saying it's a joke.
Yeah, I know. Because it has to do with Krishna. We have Krishna videos, we have Krishna TV. The main thing is you have to make it Krishna conscious. It's like I have to sing songs about Krishna. Not about Michelle and Linda. Okay, somebody else had a question. Wait, Bhima.
I don't know if you remember a letter from Srila Prabhupada for all his initiated devotees. Where he writes about noise sex. It's like an order for all temples. And he talks about sports, not practicing some sports. Why?
If that's exactly what it said, he didn't want devotees to waste their time with frivolous activities. Many times, Prabhupada would say that you get your exercise by chanting and dancing in the kirtan. So, Prabhupada's point was the devotee should be engaged 100% in direct Krishna conscious activities. And Prabhupada was very protective of the devotees in the early days. So that would probably be my explanation.
And that holds today?
Huh?
Prabhupada, you say that in the early days Prabhupada was that protective, but today that applies?
Well, now what we have is you have many different levels of devotees. You have devotees that are strictly following living in the temple. And then you also have devotees not so strict living outside. So, and many devotees, like in the early days, you know, you lived in the temple, all you did was temple activities. But now you have devotees who are householders, they have regular jobs.
Right.
So, and as I said, you have different levels of devotees. So, depending on your particular circumstance, you may not be able to be as strict as somebody who's living in the temple.
But the letter was addressed to all initiated.
Yes, but that's 1966. And back in 1966, you either were in the temple, you were in Maya. That was true for into the 80s. But times have changed. Bottom line, are you chanting 16 rounds? Are you following the four regulative principles?
Yes.
Are you happy?
Sometimes I think that I do, but when I think I'm happy, I start to think I'm really happy.
Are you doing Sankirtan?
No, I am full time dad. My wife is working, I'm taking care of them, my kid.
All right. So take care of your kid in Krishna consciousness. Okay?
Okay.
Sammohini.
I want to know, the desire for liberation is considered material desire or spiritual desire?
On one level, I will explain. See, on one level, we want to go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, why do Krishna consciousness? The devotee aspires to go back home and be with Krishna in the spiritual world. But on a higher level, because the devotee is meek and humble, the devotee feels, I'm not qualified. So the devotee feels, when Krishna is causelessly pleased with me, then I will be delivered. So you have two things going on. It's called hope against hope. The devotee wants to go back to Godhead, but also knows it's up to Krishna. Like, I know I'm not going back to Godhead. I know that Krishna and Prabhupada are going to say, no, you got to take birth in Saudi Arabia. And we have to deliver everybody in Saudi Arabia in my next life. So, on one level, the devotee wants to go back home, back to God, to be with Krishna, and on another level, the devotee is detached, saying, but if my Lord wants me to remain in this material world, that's fine, but I must be in the association of devotees. That much the devotee can demand. As Bhaktivinoda says in his song, I don't want to be a Lord Brahma. I don't mind even if I become a bug, but it has to be in the house of a pure devotee. Because a pure devotee won't harm me, even if I'm a bug. So, different emotions are going on. He wants to go back, but at the same time, detach. I told you at lunch, Rukmini, when she wrote the letter, she was pleading to Krishna, I won't marry anybody but you. And you have to come tomorrow and rescue me. My marriage day is set. You have to come. And then she said, and if it's not possible, then I will take 100 births in order for me to be your wife. So the devotee wants to be with Krishna, but knows it's not in my hand. It's not in my hand. I can't demand it. I can demand all I want. But Krishna is independent. It's his causeless mercy that I get delivered. It's one of the nine symptoms of bhav. Bhav is the preliminary step before love of God. There are nine items. So one of them is asha bandha, hope against hope. I don't deserve it. It's not going to happen, but maybe it will. Maybe in this lifetime I will be delivered by Krishna. But what did Prabhupada say? 16 rounds, four regulative principles. Prabhupada is guaranteeing to take you back home, back to Godhead. There you go. So, your work's cut out for you. Is that all right? Would you like to add, subtract, delete, edit? Anything else?
Prabhu, I want to say something about ego, how one can kill the ego, because there are people, yeah, okay, I have this, I have power, I have this, so, you know, ego, how can one...
Okay, there are two things, ego and false ego. Pure ego is, I am Krishna's eternal servant, nothing more, nothing less. That's pure ego. False ego, I'm great, I'm powerful, I'm rich, I'm smart, you're stupid.
I can screw you.
Right. So false ego, what happens to false ego? Another false ego will defeat your false ego. You'll find a bigger demon who will defeat you. Or, at the time of death, your false ego is defeated by Krishna. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I come as death. So everyone will see God. Some will see him as merciless death, and some will see him as causelessly merciful. So, sometimes, because I've had this question, I have a Punjabi friend. So several years ago, this Punjabi friend said, Prabhu, I go to temple, I donate, I do programs at my house, but I'm barely making rent. And my neighbor doesn't go to temple, he drinks, he steals, and he's so rich. Maybe I should be like him. This is true. He actually was thinking like that. And I said, don't worry. Your neighbor, his day is coming. Krishna allows them to go on for some time, but the day will come, boom. Don't worry about it. That's not your concern. Just look. Kamsa was allowed to go on for some time. Hiranyakashipu was allowed to go on for some time. Everybody was freaking out. When's Krishna going to take care of these demons? Krishna has his time scale. It's not for us. We can't... Hey, Krishna, come on, kill that guy, will you please? Come on, this guy... Come on, smash this guy. No. Krishna allows the non-devote demon... Go ahead, more. More. Narada was doing that on purpose. Narada was telling Kamsa so many things so that Kamsa would become more demoniac, so that Krishna would come. Narada was a big troublemaker. He was purposely stirring the pot. And Kamsa got it when it was time for Kamsa to get it. What else? Is everybody happy?
Yes. Your presence makes us happy.
Oh. Now I have false ego. One final question. Levine, final question?
Not today.
Not today? All right, we still got a few days left. Sakshi, final question? Sammohini? All right, so what do we do now? Arti? Okay.
Who will do the
arti? I'll do it. How's that sound?